Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the ish gets real.
I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Video Game Bang, powered by NRG, sponsored by Mainframe USA, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and Antlion Audio. We have an awesome show for you guys, because let's face it, every show we do is awesome. Sitting across from me, the real David Webb, is the Dark Knight himself, Sir Aaron Carter.
Wow. Only my god kids call me that.
No, it's not what you think. It's because you like Batman.
Yeah, I know. That's why they call me that.
Okay. That's why I was calling you that. I just wanted
racist.
To be...
You're so racist.
Wait, why would that be racist? Are you black?
I was thinking, first of all, there's no such thing as you don't see color.
I didn't even know. I thought your voice was just dark.
I was thinking because this is maybe, the third time you've hosted the show?
Yeah, give or take.
And, you know how Corey says, what's up, Peter?
Yeah.
And you know how I come in, the thirst is real. The
thirst is real.
You know, you need something.
Man. I need something.
You do. Because I felt like it was a little... It didn't feel like you were just saying hello to people.
Because that's how I say hello when I'm introduced. Is what's going on, everybody?
Yeah, but that's not...
I need something.
First of all, if
that's
you,
the way
if
the
I work
cookie
with you
no,
and
not.
You walk in the door and you're like, "What's up, everybody?" You'd probably get punched in the face. That was just, you know.
Why would I get punched in the face for that?
It's just a thing.
You say, "What's up, everybody?" You get punched in the face.
Exactly. I go to work sometimes and say, "You know, the thirst is real," and they're like, "Hey,
hey,
hey, yes,
with your
it
sunglasses."
Is. And then I pass out water because people, you know, it's all bad. But you need something. Yeah.
I need something. We'll work on it.
Yes.
We'll work on it. Coming from Oblivion, the queen of comics, it's Laura.
Wow.
Whoa. You just dropped a lot of responsibility
that's a lot
on
of
my
responsibility.
Shoulders just now.
I was
going to
say, you did drop a lot of responsibility.
The queen of
gonna
comics.
I'm going to step away from
that. Is that
I don't know that that's my title. Mm.
That's not gonna be on your name tag?
Probably not.
I think it should be.
It would more like be queen of inventory.
Queen of inventory.
There you
if
go.
If you want to get technical.
There you go.
It's
okay.
So boring.
But I love inventory.
Okay.
It's maybe the nerdiest thing that's been said on the show.
The queen
and
of inventory.
And this is the show. This is, wow.
I asked Neil, I was like, can I be in charge of inventory? And he's like, yeah.
Please.
Wow.
And last but not least, another queen, the queen of cosplay and cats. Oh, Ivy Doom whoa. Kitty.
I'll take queen of cats, mother of cats.
Mother of cats.
Like that's, yeah, that's good.
Mother
like, I'll take that.
I like that. Mother of cats.
Yeah.
Yes.
It has like a Game of Thrones and irony all wrapped into one.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Like I literally like mothered them. Like, whoa. No.
So many questions are being raised. And I don't know if I want to ask them or what. So if you are listening to this and you were thinking, hey, you're missing somebody. No, we're not, because he's not on the show anymore.
Yep.
Oh. What up, pizza?
Yeah. Oh, he's in the room. Oh, no, he's not in the room. Okay. Whew, he didn't hear that. No, Corey is once again gone. He is, I think, at a Sacramento Kings game with Energy. Or some people from Energy.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's doing. I can't
something
keep track
like that.
Of what, he's not here. That's all we know. Yeah, so I'm filling in as running the ones and twos and the main squeeze. That's not right.
What?
I don't know.
So we're going to need some coaching.
I'm vamping.
Yeah,
I'm vamping like Corey does because...
Maybe you should have some...
Oh, no!
Well, I mean, Aaron, you're over there. You can squeeze him.
Sorry, guys.
All right with that.
Lightly. Very lightly.
How did I do with setting that up like Corey does?
You did horrendously.
Which means I nailed it. Because that's...
Yes.
So
that means
I nailed
you
it.
Nailed it.
All right, so it's everybody's favorite game show because the podcast got... I don't know. Anyway, we're playing What You're Playing.
You gotta have your own, man. You gotta have your own. What does Web feel?
No, the reason why I put that in there, because normally, if you guys have listened to the show, And you have heard me host before. I don't usually do the segments or the theme songs because, let's face it, we all could do with a break from the theme songs. But I did this one specifically for one Gaming Sense Gaming because I am playing The Last of Us. You're welcome.
We're waiting for
it. We're waiting for him to respond.
You know what? Okay, here's the thing.
Lag.
Before you go into yours.
Here
you go. So, GSG, he bought us these, you know, these games. Awesome.
Very,
amazing dude. Thank you
so
very much.
Awesome.
I was hearing crap, not just from Gaming Sense Gaming, but from other people. Like, well, you haven't played this game,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
all this stuff. I started playing this game as well, and I'm a further distance than all these people, minus GSG, who's probably beat the game multiple times.
Multiple times. He's beat it backwards. He went through the whole game running backwards.
I went online with Steven, and he's like, oh, no, I haven't beat the game yet. I was like, what? I ask you where you're at, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not that far. Huh? Why is everybody... I've only played, I think, 3 sessions, and I'm a good ways in, so...
See, and I have the same... So, we were talking before the show.
Okay.
And you and I, and we have a similar... I wouldn't say issue with the game, because, like you said, you like the game. I like the game. The
yes.
game's it's a good game. But... The problem I'm having is stealth games are not my forte. I'm not great at that. I get too impatient or I slip up and I end up running and gunning, mm-hmm. which in this game usually ends up with my head bashed against the wall.
Well,
or bit.
Okay, so I'm a run and gunner too, and I found that one, unless you have it on anything above hard or harder above, if there's any other level beyond that, the AI isn't the smartest. I've created what I like to dub kill houses, where I'll just alert the enemy that I'm here, and I'll use my hearing to just watch them walk up as I just take them down one by one. And then the next person will walk in, oh my god, there's a body here! Oh, and then I'll just come up from behind them and kill them. And it'll just be like 6 bodies stacked on top of each other. And then the 7th guy walks up and sees a pile of bodies, and he just says the same thing. Like, oh, my God, there's a... And I'm... Yeah. So I'm like, this is the dumbest AI. If you walked in a room, LB, and you saw 7 bodies stacked high, dead, are you going to go investigate those bodies?
Me personally?
You would have died as you, well, yes.
Because she took too long to think about it.
She took too long to think about that one. Took way too long to think about that one. Ivy, your same situation, but it's 7 cats this time. Stacked
7
high.
Cats. Yes. But we need more than that, though.
Jeez.
Like, add another 3.
Good lord.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah,
the mother
yeah,
of
yeah.
cats?
No, like, I want more cats.
Wait,
seven is not enough.
I don't think she gets in this situation. These cats are dead.
There's one very important thing that we're missing in this whole scenario. We're forgetting that there are zombies in this, so it doesn't matter how many cats or anything. You need to run away from the zombies. You're not going to investigate a pile of bodies.
What's scarier, zombie humans or zombie cats?
Zombie cats are scarier.
Yeah, I'm going to say zombie cats.
Strength in numbers. That's
in
a
numbers.
Lot.
Well, I mean, the humans, we're given the same numbers, 10 and 10.
10 and 10?
Yes.
Now, what if I controlled the zombie cat armada? Can we do that?
You're the mother of cats, but
yeah.
The mother of zombie cats? That's
yeah.
a stretch.
I'll take
stretch.
That too.
I believe it.
I think that's a stretch.
I think she would also become our best friend. So
I would
you think
so.
We could tame the zombie? The
no,
zombie
no, no. It's that everyone would become my best friend because they wouldn't want me to send my zombie cats off to,
yes.
you know,
oh, yeah.
claw their eyeballs out.
I think, yeah. I think that's accurate. Laura, what have you been playing?
Last I played was Rise of the Tomb Raider Endurance Mode.
Oh,
what's Endurance
Mode?
Oh,
no. That might be wrong.
wait,
I was like, wait, what did I do? No, Endurance Mode is I played with Corvus Coast, and you just have to last as long as you can together in the wilderness.
Nice.
And you're both playing Lara. So that's kind of weird
okay.
sometimes.
Yeah.
Doppelganger.
Okay. yeah. But, yeah, you last as long as you can. So far, I think our record is 10 days. But it's been a while since we played, so we didn't last very long this
wow.
time. and then we played Overcooked for a little bit on Sunday. Okay. It's getting to the point where we kind of need to get a third and fourth player because it's getting really difficult. But yeah, just those two games right now.
Ivy, what about you? What have you been playing?
Still on that Overwatch kick. I haven't really gotten into anything else as of late because I've been trying to catch up on movies and TV at the same time, and one can only dedicate so much time to any one thing. So yeah, it's just Overwatch.
That's the struggle. And Reaper. Because I've been trying to catch up on Game of Thrones because I've been the one in the group that was like two seasons behind. And
I think
who are you?
The one in the world.
Right? The one in the world that was two seasons behind.
Yes.
And I finally
binged.
So
no, you're in good company because my sister was also equally as behind as you.
Well, there you go. So I mean,
so it's okay. Yeah, it's fine. I forgive you.
So it's at this point that normally you would hear Web slinging the news theme song, but let's just spare everybody and we're not going to play that.
Well, you don't want to sing your own theme song?
I thought about it. I thought about it and no. No, I'm not. So this week we have a bit more Nintendo Switch news. So on Saturday, if you listen to Saturday's show, then you know that we talked about all Nintendo Switch. If you didn't listen to the show, go back and listen to it. But some of the things that we talked about on the show that we weren't too sure of what the answers would be kind of came to light since then. So right at the top of the list, Zelda Breath of the Wild is going to take up almost half of the Switch storage.
Wow.
If you download it.
Okay. Because
if you have the physical copy, it's a cartridge.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to download the game. But if you buy the digital one, it looks like it's 13.4 gigs of storage.
That's it?
For the game. Well, that's it, but it's on a 32 gig flash memory.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's expandable.
It's expandable by what, like whatever the highest flash card is out now. Well, I mean,
yeah, but if you think about it, coming out with stock, because the Wii U did this too. They came out with 8 gig flash memory or 32 gig. But compare it to like the Switch, it seems like they're really trying to compete with, you know, the big boys. They're trying to compete with the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and those come out standard with 500 gigs. And yet Nintendo again is coming out with a 32 gig like internal memory.
And those are, you can expand those, the Xbox.
You can
expand
those too, yeah.
With non-proprietary hard drives as well.
You just plug in an external hard drive to the back and it's fine.
It's still just ridiculous that they're starting off with such a small drive though. 32 is nothing.
Exactly.
Well, I mean,
it's nothing. I mean, look at the other consoles.
We just found out what a triple XL an Asian is. So,
Did we?
Yeah.
What?
I was looking up jackets on Amazon and, you know, found a triple XL in Asian is like a, you know, small in American.
That's
a little bit of exaggeration.
one arm.
They make everything smaller over there. They're not expecting, you know, they're not expecting you to just fill your hard drive up with downloaded games and everything. They're expecting you to go out and get that cartridge and, you know, plug it in and play.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally buy, I buy physical copies. I do not like downloading, but I mean, even with Xbox, it's killing me with even having to download a portion of the game on there from the disc.
Right.
And when you get
I'm just very anti that. I hate that.
Yeah. When you get the cartridge, I don't believe you'll have to do that.
I hope not, because if you think about it, like, okay, you have the game that's 13.4 gigs, and then you have the operating system and the other, you know, system necessities that are in the background, they're going to take up a portion of the hard drive. So when you say that you have a 32 gig hard drive or flash drive in your Switch, not all of that is usable space.
Has anybody seen the Switch interface? Desktop?
I haven't.
I really like the Wii's. How's all the channels and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, okay.
I kind of liked how that was done. If they can bring something similar, I'd be down with that.
Yeah. So we did get it confirmed that the Nintendo Switch will operate with up to 2 terabyte micro SDXC cards.
Oh yeah, so then you're straight.
Well, yeah, but those don't exist yet, and neither do 1 terabyte. Mm-hmm. The largest you can buy right now is a 256 gig.
That's way more than enough.
Which is $135.
That's way more than enough. Go ahead and get one. Get two of them.
Well, yeah,
that's a lot for just that small size.
Especially if you think about, again, Xbox and PlayStation, they have 500 gig standard, and they go up to, you know, a terabyte. I think you can even get 2 terabyte.
Yeah, I have like a 2 terabyte external for like $60-$80.
Right, but and again, it's not confirmed. So, well, it's not confirmed if the Switch will be able to use those USB external drives. Might be limited.
Is it confirmed that you can download these games?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a store where you can download the
full digital copy of the game. Yeah.
Okay.
But there's no point in downloading.
Yeah,
there's no point in downloading if it's going to be that. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then speaking of digital copies of the games, we're talking about the Nintendo Switch's the services, the free monthly games that you get with part of the service, right?
That's going to be megabytes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be the older games, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But the quote from Nintendo says, subscribers will get to download and play a Nintendo Entertainment System or Super Nintendo Entertainment System game with newly added online play for free. Right? Hold your excitement. For free for a month.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
What happens after the month?
After the month, it goes away.
Paying. Yeah.
What? That's ridiculous.
Time out.
All right.
Explain to me why that's not ridiculous.
Because we have the Xbox and the PlayStation that you pay monthly for as well.
No, but you keep the game
on Xbox.
Right, you're misunderstanding. You have to pay for the service, yes, but so you pay for the service, okay? This is 2018. The free trial of the service is over.
Okay.
You're paying for the monthly service.
Okay.
2017.
Yeah. You are using...
I got it.
You're playing Super Mario, okay? And... after a month of playing Super Mario, it's over. You have to buy Super Mario if you want to continue playing.
So it's a trial.
It's a trial. Renting the game.
That's lame.
That is definitely lame.
Which is ridiculous because, again, looking back at PlayStation and Xbox, you get those games. PlayStation is like a step above because you can only play those games if you continue to have a PlayStation Plus
account.
Once you lose that, you're lost. But the Xbox games... you have those. You own them. Whether you have Xbox Live or not, you could play them. Hmm. And Nintendo is coming out and saying, nope, you can only have a free trial. And it's just kind of... Nintendo just seems to do that with their digital versions
DLC.
Of their games. Yeah, their DLC, their digital games. Like the old games. They don't... Even when it came from...
Wait. This is saying you still have access to them as long as you have the subscription.
No.
What? Where is that?
I'm reading the next thing that you put in your notes.
Let me see.
In your notes.
Yeah, in your notes. Yeah, in my notes.
After that, the subscriber's quote that's in bold.
Right.
Says, if you're familiar with how Xbox One and the PlayStation offerings go, you'd be forgiven for reading this as if it was a month to add a specific game to your library, and then so long as you remain subscriber.
He's referring to Xbox and PlayStation.
It's saying that... You would think that that's what it is because we're used to the Xbox and PlayStation way of doing things.
Well, then they're just stupid.
Yeah.
See, it's funny because I this little blurb that they gave, I read it a little bit differently. I read it as in subscribers get to download these certain games for 1 month. And then you got to buy anything after that.
Yeah.
But
I mean like the first month.
You only have one month. Yeah, to download all
to
this.
Download
that's your
these
time,
games
yeah.
and play them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The writer is
and
not a good
writer. Like, and then I was like, "Oh, no, it's
the
like,
writer needs work." they'll change that model.
Because they did it before, players coming from the Wii to the Wii U, they had these decade-old games from the NES and the SNES, and when they went from the Wii to the Wii U, which you would think would be, you would keep your digital content, you had to rebuy those games that were decades-old games that were $2, but Nintendo made you rebuy them for the Wii U. When you already bought them for the Wii. So I don't think they're going to change it. I think it's just how Nintendo is.
I wonder how long, though. Are they just going to count since the day that you download it is the day that you have a month since from then? Or do you have a month's time?
The first of the 30th.
Yeah. Like, I wonder how they're going to run it.
Oh, I would hope they would do it from the day that you download it. That's day one. So if you download it on the 15th of the month, that's day one for you. So
if they were smart, they would literally just have you have a subscription like the other two systems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put their entire catalog of NES and Super NES up there for you to download for free. And you have access to that as long as you are a subscription holder. So as long as you're paying that monthly or that yearly or whatever you want to do it, when, you know, you can play all the games from the old catalog.
You would think, because isn't that what PlayStation is doing with PlayStation Now?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't looked into their PlayStation Now.
I think the PlayStation Now, I know there's PlayStation Plus, and I think you can add, I think the way it works is you add PlayStation Now. PlayStation Now gives you access to like PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 games.
Here's the difference, though.
If anybody in chat, let me know if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
You can probably fit the entire catalog of NES games on one flash drive. So it's not taking up a lot of space.
That's the thing. Is like that's kind of why people are upset about it, is because they don't take that much space.
Not at all.
They're not. I mean, you buy them for like Zelda for Black Friday. The first Zelda was available to download on the 3DS for like $2. I mean,
it's
they're hanging on to every little bit of money they can get from these games.
And you know why? It's that model that I've been arguing with. You know, if somebody's buying it, they're going to keep doing it as long as it's, you know, it's successful in some point. And so it's got to be, because they've been rehashing the regular Mario for decades,
right?
And people have been buying it, coming back and buying it, coming back and buying it. So they clearly see that this model is going to work some way, so they're going to put it out there. I don't know when they're going to quit. Because we're how many systems in? How many times have you seen NES games on every console that they've put out? Every handheld that they've put out? Now that we have online, they're just putting them up there. And yeah, you know, it probably costs nothing to store all these games
on
their, you know, servers or whatever.
It's not about charging for upkeep. It's charging for the money.
Yeah, like it's just.
I mean, it's the same reason why now. It's the same reason why Mario Run is $10,
which is stupid.
You know, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Looking at chat, Games Since Gaming is saying the Wii scenario is exactly why they're not going to change it, is because that's just how Nintendo operates.
But let's be honest, are you really clamoring for these old games?
For me, I wouldn't say clamoring. I would want them because it's my childhood. I mean, I went from.
Is it your childhood?
It is, because from when I was a kid, the first console I had was an Atari console.
I'm sorry.
And I moved up to a NES, and I played Super Mario Brothers 3 for hours. And then I think that's the only game. I think I had Duck Hunt, Super Mario Brothers 3, and that may have been it. Now, my friend had more. And I mean, those are my childhood games. So if I can go back and play those games, like, that would be awesome. But I think it's ridiculous that we're still being charged for games that are, you know, well.
You can go back and play those games. You get an old console.
There you go.
Get an old console. And
yeah, like I still play on my original SNES. The one I got when I was a kid still works, and I still use it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Tanks. What are you talking about?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't even think my TV has the right ports for it. I found my N64, and I wanted to play Star Fox so bad. And I don't. My TV doesn't have the right ports.
Then you need a different TV.
I need a different TV. I need to go buy an older TV.
Old tube TV, yeah.
So, we'll go hit up Denios.
Hit up Denios, yeah. This next story, Aaron, I think you're really gonna like.
It depends.
Wizards of the Coast.
Already don't like it.
Opening a digital studio.
Okay. Explain.
So, the game publisher, Wizards of the Coast, you might know from the popular game Dungeons & Dragons.
That's a thing?
That is a thing.
Oh, cool.
And probably the most popular collectible card game, Magic. It's not Yu-Gi-Oh!, that's for sure.
I wouldn't say either. They both lost their ways, in my opinion. Go ahead,
regardless,
continue. Yes, yes.
They're opening up a digital studio with the aim of recreating some of its practical properties in a virtual space.
Okay, what are we talking about? Video games? Are this what they're talking about?
Yeah,
like a VR system?
When I first read this, I'm thinking, wait a minute, because I have Magic something, Magic the Gathering something, on my Xbox. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's so we already have that. What are they talking about? But what they're thinking of is a quote from one of the main guys at the studio saying, what would it be like to throw fireballs as a planeswalker in an MMO or quest for treasure with your friends in a D&D augmented reality game?
Okay, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you're talking, right? On that one.
Right.
The first one, no. The second one,
okay, well,
augmented reality,
one,
yes.
You think about Magic the Gathering as an MMO, you're basically going to be getting a WoW with a magic skin over it, I would think.
They don't need one, though. Yeah, there's no space for you to do that. With that mentality is the same mentality that the Warhammer people went into making an MMO. They thought, I have a property that's popular.
Yeah.
We can go into the same space that Warcraft did, and we can dominate. But there's no idea about a game behind it.
I think, well, no, I mean, because this is just new. I mean, this is just,
but still, nonetheless, this is that thinking that leads into a bad game, a la Skyrim Online, or Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
Not saying that they're terrible games, but they're not going to beat WoW. If that's the pinnacle, if that's what you're trying to beat, and everybody wants to be a WoW killer, that's what they're thinking. I have a fancy property that everybody likes.
Yeah.
I can make an MMO, and everybody will jump on board.
Do you think they're trying to make a WoW killer, though? Because it sounds
that's
like...
That's what you want to make money, right?
Well, yeah, you want to make money, but it sounds like they're making it more for their Magic fans. Not... They don't want to go out and beat WoW.
But their Magic fans are Magic fans because of the cards.
Yeah.
So why
but having
I...
For them, though, thinking about the way... I mean, I guarantee you, the way that they're thinking of it is having these characters come to life in this game and being able to play as them, not just as in a card form, but because a card game can be kind of restricting.
Yeah.
And you may be able to do something in an MMO that you may not be able to do in a card game because you have turns and you have to
just do the use augmented
mana
or reality.
Like
just
I'm digging the augmented reality.
The augmented reality for D&D. Sounds amazing.
Sounds very difficult.
I would definitely look into this.
Ivy, have you played D&D?
I have not. I played Magic briefly, but that was the extent of anything. And I have a lot of friends that play D&D. I just haven't had the chance to play because I'm forever alone.
Wow.
Really depressing, really fast.
I got dark really quickly.
Yeah. Really, really fast. Can your cats, they could probably play D&D.
No, that's even darker than the original.
I would do that.
They just bat the die around. and whatever it rolls on, that's how they...
So Mittens, you rolled a 7, and you did not...
It's Twinkie.
Twinkie
rolled a 7, all right. No.
He did not have enough to kill the Demogorgon.
I do have a Gandalf.
Gandalf. Well, we all know he's definitely a mage.
Wait, a cat Gandalf or a...
Yeah, his name's Gandalf the Grey. He's a big, floofy gray cat.
She has a person named Gandalf that she just keeps in her house.
Yeah, wow, that makes sense.
And I talk to my imaginary friend Gandalf.
Every once in a while, he doesn't let her pass.
I can see the augmented reality.
Yeah,
happening.
That would be amazing. The way I'm kind of picturing it, kind of like on in Star Wars when they're playing chess with Chewbacca.
Okay.
And they're having you have like it's almost like a hologram, or it is a hologram in there, but I see something similar for D&D. You have your little game pieces.
That would be cool.
And then like Aaron, we saw at that Great Escape games, we saw how they had those big sets of like castles and like in a whole environment.
Yeah.
I don't think they were playing D&D, but that would be cool having that in augmented reality.
And the difference with it, because those tabletop games that we saw at Great Escapes, those were very static.
Yeah.
You played basically in the same location every single time. You may move a tree a little bit, like, oh, now this tree's over here, but you're basically in the exact same spot.
When you start the next game, wait a minute, that tree was three spots
exactly
right.
Dungeon Master. That always bugged me watching that. Like with them, I'm like, okay, you can buy all these sets and everything. That's cool, but like, I want my players to play in a different location sometimes. I want them to see different things. And I understand you built this big set, but it's kind of that's all we got, man.
What do you see happening with augmented reality with D&D? If they go through with that, how do you see that happening?
Two different things they can do, I think. One, they can do the tabletop route where everybody put on their VR. You know, we'll all sit around the table, put on the VR, and the dungeon master will have control via computer or something of what we see, you know, spring up on the table, right? So he can create a desert, or he can create a forest, or a river that you guys are on, or something, or a giant castle that you would have to go traverse. Two, instead of you seeing it on the tabletop, you just actually see it in your actual normal lives. Like, it's augmented reality. You guys are sitting there, and then all of a sudden, a monster appears in front of your eyes that the dungeon master, you know, brings up or something like that. Or an NPC that you guys can see.
Right.
But it's not anything. You don't have to move around or anything. He's just in front of you through your augmented reality or whatever. As opposed to a table piece. And then you just interact with them, you know, like you would in a D&D session or something like that. So I think they can go two different ways there. I would rather see a mixture of both, actually. So you have a tabletop that you're looking at.
And then you can go down, almost like on Google Maps.
Yes.
You can go Street View.
Exactly.
As you're going through the game.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to see a combination of both. I mean, Wizards of the Coast, if you're hiring, you know.
You're hiring idea guys.
Out these ideas.
New idea, man.
I'm shelling them out, man. Come on.
I think it'd be awesome. The only problem I see is just when it comes to like availability for the masses. I mean, augmented reality is awesome. You know, but I mean, I guess VR devices are getting less expensive when you have like the Samsung VR.
Yeah. Just do it out of that.
You have some cheaper knockoff ones that are similar that work with, I think, any phone. So it's becoming more available, but I think it's still not quite there. But I have both of them, having like a Magic MMO. And I've played Magic, but D&D, that interests me the most, just because I think that would be really cool to kind of have it be in that world. I would like the tabletop, to be honest. I think that would have the most potential.
It's a tough thing, too, only because with Dungeons & Dragons, there's, like, so much. It's limitless of what you can kind of do in this game.
Well, that's why this...
It's set to your imagination.
That's why it's perfect for something like this, because you could do so much more in a digital space than you could in an actual space. Like, looking at our table, the table that we have right now, we're limited on how much table space we have, whereas with... a digital, you know, version, you're not limited on just the table space that you have. You know, if it comes to, you know, in the virtual reality, projecting it onto the tabletop, you could just move it to where you need
things.
Swipe through to get to the, you know, land that you want to be at. So I think it's cool.
What was the game that we played, and I don't know why it's blanking, I've been trying to find it while you were talking, that we played on Steam that was like D&D, but you used your cell phones. Everybody used their phones to control their characters.
Oh,
I
snap!
Am interested in what this is.
Eon Alter?
Eon Alter.
Yeah.
Is the first digital type of game that's like D&D that everybody, that kind of blended those two type of genres, the tabletop and the, you know, video games. And what was cool about it was, you know, we all had our own separate characters, and if certain things happen to us, it would just show up on your phone and the rest of the people wouldn't be able to see it. So you can get secret quests and it was just weird. It was, but I really like it. I still own the game, actually, because I went out and
this sounds
it.
Kind of cool. I yes. want is to this, check this
yeah.
out.
That was a fun game when we played that.
Yes.
And it was a lot like what's that one game, Gauntlet, where you can get caught because the camera moves basically with like whoever, like the most amount of people are in the group. So if you aren't moving quick enough and you're not sticking with the group, if you're hanging back to try and like mine for things, then you get stuck and you have to have the whole team come back. So the camera comes back. So then you can see your way across the wall and, keep on going. So I'm not saying that out of, experience or anything.
We got to play that one. The only thing was I don't think they had it online support, so it was, you had to have everybody then there.
Gotcha.
Which to me is fine. There's not enough games that are like that. All right, For Honor closed beta arrives later this month. So For Honor is a game by Ubisoft where you could play as a Viking, a samurai, or a knight. And it's arguably one of the games that most people are looking forward to after seeing it at E3.
I mean, it brought the to me it felt like it brought more depth into the Warriors type of game.
You know, right.
Dynasty Warriors, Gundam Warriors, all that type of stuff. And I think it may be because it's a Western feel, you know?
Yeah.
Western developers or whatever. I'm excited for it.
It looks
cool.
It's
going to be fun. The closed beta is available January 26th through the 29th. And what's awesome about this is unlike most betas where there's a time console exclusivity, mm-hmm. it is on all consoles and platforms during that date. So you can download it for PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and Xbox One.
Cross-platform play? That's what we need.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Doesn't say if those cross-platform play, but I think they should. I mean, I think we're past the point of not having cross-platform play in games.
Well, to be fair, because you have first-person shooters that still, you can't really... you know, mouse and keyboard can't really compare for controller for, you know, precision and aiming. But there are other games
where you could, you know, you should be able to.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, only for specific genres, I would say.
Right. Like, would be a genre.
Isn't the Sony, they haven't exactly agreed to support cross-platform yet too?
No, I think Sony did. Microsoft said...
Yeah, I keep hearing it. I keep hearing it back and forth. I keep hearing it. I keep hearing it the way Laura's saying it, and I hear it the way Aaron's saying it.
I thought it was Sony that wasn't doing it.
Somebody, one of them, whoever it is. Yeah, chat, if you guys know, let us know.
What I've heard was, it was like, Sony was like, yeah, we're open to it, and then Microsoft was like, yes? Question mark. At the end of it. Yeah, and it was like, why is that a question, okay. Microsoft? Like...
We're open to it?
But I don't. The only reason why I don't see, because Microsoft has always been tight-lipped about their online and opening it up to other, you know, cross-platforms. It's like there's a rare amount of games, if anything, that has ever been for an Xbox system and even just the PC.
Right. So, well, and they're opening that up now with Xbox, with Live Anywhere.
Yeah, with Live Anywhere where now, you can play it's doing it. That.
Yeah,
but that's not Live PlayStation anymore.
But let's think about it, though. you say Microsoft is pretty tight with how they open up their back end, we'll say.
Wow.
I didn't mean it like that. It's just the only word that came to my mind. But think about how often Microsoft has been hacked versus how many times Sony has been hacked.
It's true. Yeah. Sony pisses me off with their stuff because I got freaking
It's like they hacked. Just say, hey, come on in.
Sony was supposed to get better with this.
They were supposed
with
to,
the paid
yeah.
service. And it's irritating that they did, because whenever I worked at GameStop and PS3 went down for, you know, that long period of time, I couldn't tell anybody anything. Like, they would come in and, you know, so when is it coming up? I'm like, I don't know, man. Sorry. Like,
why would they come to GameStop to ask?
Because I promise you, people would just come in there. They'd ask as if I was CEO of Sony Entertainment. And I don't know. It got to the point where people would trade in their PlayStations for an Xbox 360 just to play online. Yeah. You had converters. That's what you had.
Yeah. And then we have, who was it? Was it Snoop that got pissed? And
yeah.
Said, fix your stuff, Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was going to switch to PlayStation for the same reason. It's crazy. I mean, they both had their faults. But yeah, I mean, if you think about it, really, Microsoft gets hacked a lot less than PlayStation. And
I still want to see it, because I mean, that if when that happens, that's one step closer to my ultimate dream of one console to rule them all.
Yeah.
That's not the PC.
Yes. See, and I'm going to be honest, I thought that the Steam Box was the beginning of that.
I knew that wasn't, but
Ivy, did you play the Steam Box?
I have not.
Yeah, do you know what it is though?
I do.
I mean, the idea of it was really cool.
It's not for
everybody. I mean, it's not for every. See, and that's the thing, is I think it was too close to both to be able to be a bridge. You know what I mean? It was basically a computer.
Yeah.
That also had controller support, which my PC has controller support.
Yes, all PCs and it has pretty Steam. Much have
yeah,
controller
so
support.
Why would I go? But then at the same time, it benefited the console players because you didn't have to build a gaming rig. You just bought a gaming rig.
But by then...
But if they wanted to do that, then they would just buy an Xbox.
Exactly.
Because it's almost the same specs.
But then the thing is, they don't know that... I'm telling you, like, console players, they don't know that as a console. Like... Steam, they may know of Steam. Like, oh, yeah, that's a service that has a bunch of video games and stuff on there. But they don't know that as a console seller. So they
I didn't know that.
Exactly. So they're going to go with their trusted ones of Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo.
Right.
Then, if you're trying to look at it as a PC, of course, you got those people that build their rigs. PC gamers, you know, smart guys, they build their rigs. They're going to look at that and be like, well, that's underpowered for what I can do. So why am I buying that? It really was for the grandmother that wants to get their kid, you know, their grandkids a video game console and didn't know what they were doing at all.
Yeah.
There you
it
go.
Was,
And the three of them that were out there, they bought it, and they're probably having a hell of a time playing their PC games on that thing, so.
While their friends play on their regular... Yeah.
Congratulations, Nana.
PlayStation. yeah. Last story I have is the Titanfall mobile card game was canceled. Did you guys even know that there was a mobile card game for Titanfall coming?
There's mobile card games for everything now.
And that's why I included it in here. I wanted to talk about this. I put it in here. I almost didn't. So Respawn canceled its Titanfall spinoff mobile card game, which was actually currently in closed beta. Titanfall Frontline casts the player as a commander, like Sarah in the original Titanfall, who is responsible for putting together a team of Titans and pilots. It offered turn-based combat in player-versus-player battles. Back in 2015, Titanfall developer Respawn announced a multi-game, multi-year deal with Nexon to bring Titanfall games to mobile. Frontline was announced in 2016. But in the recent, you know, check, it was just not up to scratch. So they're just going to scrap it.
Your question of what is what games are trying to make card games
why?
Of their properties.
Why are they going to card games?
Because card games are, they saw the success. Well, I mean, when we had actual physical cards in your hands with
right.
you know, Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! And they, you know, got their big popularity, they were like, let's do it to the digital space. And, you know, it got somewhat popular. But then you had Hearthstone. And
yeah,
that thing... That took over. Like, that blew up, you know, and became huge. So, it's a copy and paste thing. Like, hey, I got a property that's cool.
Well, that's the thing. That's what it seems like it's doing. It seems like what developers are doing is when they say they want to bring a mobile version of their game to, you know, to phones, what their go-to is a card game. How can we cram this into a card game? Star Wars Battlefront had a card game to go with it, and their the points and stuff that you would earn in there would transfer to the actual game, which I think it's cool when games actually do that.
It gives you a reason to play,
but it's just kind of overdone.
It was too much.
I mean, like you said about the Magic MMO, why are you gonna try and do a game like WoW when WoW is so successful? Why are you going to do a card game like Hearthstone when Hearthstone is so successful? You're not going to kill Hearthstone with Titanfall. You're just not. I mean, do you play any of these mobile card games?
I don't play anything on mobile.
That's okay.
Except for, whatchamacallit?
Candy Crush.
No. Oh, God, no. Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go.
Oh, that's the biggest mobile game now.
That's my favorite.
Okay, so sidestep into Pokemon Go for a minute here. I had a conversation with one of my coworkers who doesn't play Pokemon Go, but she saw me when it first came out and how often I played it. On my lunch break, I was playing it. On my 10-minute breaks, it got me to go outside and walk around our office complex because I was Pokemon hunting. And we were talking about today how I never do that anymore. And it's not just out of sheer laziness because I don't want to go and walk around, but it's because it's kind of lost its luster. We're talking about what do we think they can do to bring it back. I mean, do you think they can get back to where they were?
Hands down, yes.
You do?
Hands down, yes. One, implement more Pokemon. 2, implement trading. 3, implement battling anybody, anywhere. 4, take away the stupid way that you get gems in the area.
Yeah.
And 5, let me start developing more for it. Nintendo, you have my number. Again, I'm shelling them out, everybody.
All right, so we're going to focus on okay. on 1 through 4, just out of sheer sanity's sake. I think that those are all ideas that they're going to do. But it's not going to be sustainable like growth. It's going to peak like it did before. I don't think it's going to get as high as it did before.
Mm-mm. No.
And then once people are over it, it's going to slowly drop back down until the next update. And then I think what's going to happen is the peaks are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller until it's going to end up like Ingress, where there are, you know, millions of people that play, but it's a niche market.
Here's the problem, though. Here's the other thing. It's not... So you have a lot of Pokemon fans, right? Have you play Pokemon? Any of them, Laura?
Like, yeah. A little bit.
What's the newest ones? I'm trying to forget. Sun and Moon, right?
I haven't played the new ones, okay. No.
So... Pokemon has a lot of features to it. Pokemon Go does not. If they were to implement half the features that they had in the, I know it's a cannibalizing its own thing because like, why am I going to go buy the little handheld one if I can get on my phone for free?
I think they can do it without cannibalizing their own product.
Personally, I never really played a whole lot of the games, Pokemon games, but I watched the show. And one of my biggest gripes with Pokemon Go is that there's not that personal connection with your Pokemon in Pokemon Go. Okay. Like it was about, you know, friendship and taking care of your Pokemon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it became repetitive and boring because I was just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I liked that they did the buddy Pokemon, but that wasn't really the same thing that I was asking for.
Yeah, because what the problem is, and she hit the right on the head. It's a hoarding game. Yeah, like you're just hoarding as many Pokemon
you're
as you can.
Hoarding and discarding,
exactly, and then
constantly.
So that's not the essence of the game, or what it originally was. So in the new one, you played Sun and Moon, right, Webb?
No, I haven't played Sun and Moon yet.
Okay, so Corey was talking about how. And I know
Alpha Sapphire.
Yeah,
they played it in chat. I know they have too.
Oh yeah,
it's a lot more personal with your Pokemon.
Yeah, you
pet
have your
a relationship
Pokemon.
With. Yeah, you pet your Pokemon,
and they won't faint because they love
exactly.
you too much.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think it's weird.
We
but,
overcame
okay.
poison because I loved you so much, and it's like you get that anime moments and stuff.
Right.
They don't have that in Go. Go is just it's a hoarder's thing, and it's not personal Pokemon. So. That's what's lacking. That's what can be added. And I guarantee you it'll bring people more back into the game. Like, it's... And then you actually add side quests, like actual quests. Like, you know, hey, if you go to this location, you know, and whatever a quest is for
so
Pokemon.
So you
want to
bring more Ingress into...
I want it to be more
interactive.
Yeah, yeah, more interactive, more personable.
Which is
make
crazy.
Us actually part of the Pokemon world where we are doing these things.
And that's kind of how I think me and most people thought it was going to be. It was going to be closer to the games, or at least the show, and not so much as like you just collect them and then you fight a gym and then that's it. Like,
I mean, I like the fact that it was promoting people to get out of their houses and walk and interact and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me at least, I went from never walking because I when I'm home, I work out from home and that's it. I don't go on walks. I don't jog. I don't run. None of that. But I was going from like not walking to walking like 7 miles a day. Because I wanted to hatch my eggs.
See, I did that for like a day, and then I realized that if you drive under 17 miles an hour, it will hatch.
Cheater!
It changed to 12 miles an hour, and then
the only thing that I hated about that was that I actually we were trying to do bike rides. I was like, we can do a bike ride, take the bike trail. But even then, like
you're
you had to go really, really slow.
You had to go walking pace.
Yeah,
it's.
I think if you're going on a bike ride, that's fair enough because it's still a physical activity.
Yeah, right. But because that's fair. We had to go so slow, it was like we might as well just be walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to. There's a lot of things they can do, and I'm not sure how fast they can implement these things.
Well, the next update is what, the spring? And I have no idea. I think it's the spring, so we're going to see some of these. I mean, we're going to see new Pokemon. We're going to see Gen 2.
You gotta implement fighting or like battling system.
Anytime battling.
A better time. You know, if they got rid of the actual battling system they have now and just implemented the actual Pokemon battle system, I guarantee you it'll bring a lot more people back.
So wait, so how do you see this? You're walking through a park and I was saying,
you get a message or a thing on your phone that, you know, hey, somebody around you wants to battle you.
You turn around, you see a kid with a net. You can accept
or decline. I guarantee you, it'll be just like that. It'll be just like that.
A bunch of kids walking around with nets over their shoulder. Bug Catcher 3 wants to battle you.
Have it to where you can scan the area for
see, that would be cool.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking you should be able to see who in your immediate area is also playing.
As I suggested, think that might bog the system down, though.
Well, it's good. Yeah, if you can't even track your own Pokemon, you're not going to be able to see who else is playing. But I suggested that on an earlier episode, and chat was like, no, because that's how pedophiles are going to get to you.
Very much so.
You can track. Although it's going to be a surprise for the pedophile when they show up and it's a 30-year-old man playing Pokemon Go. Joke's on you, sucker.
Terrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that battling system is garbage, in my opinion. Just give us the original battling system, and it'll be all right. I think that'll be a better way to do stuff.
I mean, when you go to the conventions, do you still see a lot of people playing Pokemon Go?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
It's still out there. It's very
it's still a thing.
I have coworkers that still play, and they like to show me their you know
their Pokemon.
And stuff like yeah, and I'm kind of like, oh, I still have the app, guys. Yeah, I haven't played in a long time.
They're like, do you want to see my Pokemon?
Oh yeah, it's that way.
It's a cat.
I have a Dugtrio.
My husband opened up.
I have a
opened it up and started playing recently because they were doing like some like.
Some special
free eggs or they were doing something where they were trying to help you clear out your eggs.
Oh yeah. Oh,
so that you could get then you could get the new ones that are only from the eggs. So he was like staying out extra late and trying to go meet friends so that he could
it's like all catch over again.
Some more stuff.
When it first came out, that's what we were doing. We'd be out late, like so those of you listening who may not know, we're based in Sacramento, and in downtown we would go walking to go catch Pokemon when the game first came out, and it was like the zombie apocalypse. Everybody was looking down at their phone, especially old Sacramento. Everybody's looking at the ground, like looking at their phone, walking super slow, walking in herds. That was at the peak, and that's what I really liked about it, was just
seeing the interactions.
The interaction, because you saw interactions among people who you would never think would interact. Like, I saw, like, this group of guys, like, you could tell they were just straight from the hood. And they walked by, like, these guys that you could tell were the exact opposite.
What part of the hood?
The hood.
Okay.
The hood of the hood.
Okay.
All right. And deep in the hood. And they walked by guys who were clearly not from the hood. And they're like, hey, y'all see that Charmander back there? And, like, they were helping each other out. I'm like, that's kind
of
cool.
Oh, no, it blended a lot of...
It blended so much.
A lot of people, yeah. And that was cool. I mean, as a gamer, you want to see that type of thing, that unity back in the gaming community or whatever. But it can't last forever.
But then you had your idiots that were doing stupid-ass crap that were walking off of cliffs and...
I call
that natural selection.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to feel bad for you if you're stupid and walk off a cliff while you're playing a video game. You should know better.
We had somebody in the area walk into, I can't remember if it was just like a really busy street, like a main street, or if it was an actual freeway. But they walked in and they got hit by a car. And they were fine. But they came and they, you know, them, you know, the person who actually got hit by the car and their guardian was like, oh, it's the Pokemon fault. Like, yeah, I was trying to catch a Pokemon. It's game's
said
fault.
To tell. It said to tell me to go across the street or something.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
I walked across the street. It's like,
what was the purpose of the teams as well? That was the other thing.
They added
teams.
No purpose
I think the for teams that. Were just for the See? For the gyms.
Yeah,
well, it's like Ingress. No yeah, it's like Ingress. You have teams, and so that's what they were doing. Is they were trying to maintain that same thing.
If you're not Valor, we can't be friends.
Well, I guess we're not friends.
No.
No. What? Or what team are you?
There's only one,
what's
right?
Blue?
Mystic. Oh. Yeah.
I
so you
yes.
two are Mystic.
Team Mystic.
Ivy, you're Valor, I'm assuming.
I'm Valor. Valor yeah. translates into Slytherin. Mystic translates into Ravenclaw.
Really?
What? And yeah. Mystic translates into Hufflepuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does translate into a Huff.
That's like, I should have known when Corey was Instinct. I should have known that he was yeah, if a you, Hufflepuff.
Yeah, if you look at all of the traits that each one embodies,
yeah.
they're the same as the Hogwarts houses, with the exception of Gryffindor. Gryffindor is not represented.
So I picked Yellow. I picked Instinct because the game came out not long before San Diego Comic-Con. And I was going with Corey and his wife, and they were both Yellow. And I'm thinking, okay, cool. If we're all Yellow, then we could take some gyms when we were down there. So I picked Yellow to be a part of like a team. I don't think we opened it once during San Diego Comic-Con.
Are you serious?
You were
serious?
Also Yellow, so I think you probably would have been like scared. Overpowered oh. the entire time. I don't think you would have accomplished anything.
My favorite Dude. Meme of the game is when it's like a yellow gym and it's like, does anybody else get this weird glitch when the gym turns yellow for a minute?
Basically.
Yeah, that's what it was like, yeah.
It added a
that's
lot
funny.
Of... segregation to the gamers as well, like big time.
You think
some people yeah. took it so serious?
Yeah, so it brought people together and then separated them out all at
yes,
the same
it
time.
Did.
Yeah, and
yes,
it was
did.
Like adults versus children.
Oh well, yeah, we when we went up to the park. Remember the little kid that had his oh. mom drive him up to the park and was like, "Are you taking
wow.
my gym?"
Yeah, we were up there. We were battling a gym, and this little kid, he was like probably like 10. He comes running up. Are you battling mm-hmm. my gym?
Should've
Keep like, damn gym. Straight, I'm yeah. battling your gym. That's going to be mine, fool.
Yeah. And then
get out of here with that.
Like, give me your phone.
Yeah, give me your phone and throw it. Throw it into a tree. Go get it now, you little rug rat. That's
never...
what's wrong with society.
I never really, I tried helping with gyms and stuff a few times, but it wasn't really my thing. But I did, there's a ramen house in Midtown that we like to go to, and there was one time we opened up the game and... We were just watching it constantly go through all three colors during our like 45-minute dinner.
Because it would just keep.
Yeah, and we were like, "Oh, we're just gonna wait. We're gonna go ahead and just take it." we wow. didn't get it for like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
but it was pretty funny watching that.
My my favorite was I think it was during our 24-hour stream that we did when towards the end we started doing shifts and I went up to the park. And I think, Aaron, you were with me when those kids kept trying to take my gym.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So they would beat my strongest, and then they didn't know how to put another Pokemon in. So I'd throw in another one of mine,
he
like the weakest
fight.
One.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even fight. It would just be a weak one that would go in there. So they'd have to battle that. I'd boost up my strongest. They'd beat my weak one. I'd throw in my strong one again. And I just kept doing it. And the only reason why I couldn't hold it is because we had to come back to do the show.
Aw.
Oh, man.
All I right. did get a Ditto while I was in Japan.
Ooh.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. It was a Pidgey. And when
oh,
he caught
yeah.
The Pidgey turned into a Ditto. And it was just super cool to see that happen on your screen. I was like, holy crap, I caught a Ditto. It was amazing.
Nice.
But yeah, there are Pokemon that are region specific.
Yeah.
So unless you travel to those areas, you will never get it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ditto was one of them.
No, Ditto's here now.
Yeah.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Whatever. I got it.
Whatever.
I think that was fairly recent, though. So.
All right, guys. So that is the music ending the show. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Make sure to check out this weekend's show, The Weekend Bang. We're going to have Nexcra Software on, and they're going to be showing us their Armored Acorns game, which looks pretty awesome. Aaron, am I missing anything? Are we going to do anything special that day?
Besides them?
Besides them.
Sheesh.
What else could we pack into a show?
I don't know. But we'll find out. We'll definitely find out.
That makes me nervous when you say that, because I feel like there's something.
There's always
something. There's always something.
I've always got a plan.
That's going on. All right, everybody. Well, for the real David Webb, Laura from Oblivion, Sir Aaron, and Ivy Doom Kitty, thank you guys so much for watching and listening. We will see you guys.